Well, I am very happy to have the Interdependence Natural Food Show with Daniel Vondrak on the line. Daniel's an expert in herbology and understanding herbs, and he works very hard over there with Susie at Interdependence Natural Foods in Sedona. That's right there on Highway 89A, and it's always nice to talk to you, Daniel. How are you doing?
Thank you, Cindy. I'm doing well today. How are you?
Great. I know you have a specialty, which is a fascinating, very timely topic that we're going to delve into today, and that's using mushrooms for health purposes, correct?
Absolutely.
Explain exactly what mushrooms you're talking about and how the development of this works. I know there's been huge, huge talk and studies done recently, and I can't wait to find out more about it. So tell me about what you've studied.
Sure. So today we'll be talking specifically what's referred to as medicinal mushrooms. And it can be actually argued that a lot of mushrooms have medicinal or active properties for health. And we'll focus on maybe five or six different mushrooms. And one really cool thing about all of the mushrooms that we speak about today is that they are supportive for the immune system. But then the other cool thing is that some of the individual mushrooms have multiple benefits. So for instance, lion's mane mushroom, even though it's known to be good for the immune system, it's also known to be very good for the brain and supporting cognitive function. So one fascinating thing about these medicinal mushrooms is that they have multiple functions in the body, and they support different areas of the systems of health.
So that was called lion's mane?
Yes, yes. So lion's mane mushroom, they call it that because in the wild or when it's grown, kind of looks like a pom-pom or a lion's mane. It's a whitish-colored mushroom, and it has actually little, like, teeth. So it looks kind of like a lion's mane.
So how do you know about getting the right mushroom, and how do you go about taking lion's mane mushrooms?
Sure. So there's a lot of different ways you can take it. Tincture would be one. There's also what's very popular these days is mushroom coffee, where certain brands are going and they're making mixtures of mushroom extracts with coffee. So, for instance, Four Sigmatic carries a mushroom coffee that has lion's mane extract in it.
Mm.
And you can utilize it just like a regular instant coffee. It comes in packets. And you can mix a packet with some hot water and drink it just like you would a regular instant coffee.
Wow.
And it tastes like coffee. You know, you can't really even notice the mushroom in it. And it's very good. And for me, I always notice that I feel a little bit more alert. And my cognition is a little quicker when I consume a beverage like that.
That sounds very interesting to me. I did not know that you could do that. Is that something you order online pretty much, or where do you get that from?
Absolutely. So we carry it at Interdependence Foods, and you can order it at interdependencefoods.com. There's other forms of lion's mane we carry as well. There's powder forms that you can add into smoothies that'll be a little bit more neutral in flavor. So just the lion's mane on its own, it's not very mushroomy in taste. It's kind of a mild one. So
That's good.
One mixes very easily.
Okay, that's one thing I'd not heard of. Tell me about another kind and what else other mushrooms do.
Yeah, so another mushroom that I like is called cordyceps. And the cordyceps mushroom I would compare to almost being like the ginseng of the mushroom kingdom, whereas it's very supportive for stamina, energy, endurance, oxygenation of the body, so it can be very good for altitude acclimation and also for working out or exercise. It's very supportive for that. And actually, there was a time when some athletes in the Olympics, I believe it was Chinese athletes, were utilizing cordyceps, and they were getting good results with it. And I think there was some speculation like, oh, are they using steroids? But no, they were just using cordyceps, and they were getting good results with improving their athletic performance.
And they're not illegal?
No, cordyceps is not illegal. It's a totally legal thing. You know, it's a mushroom. It can be cultivated. So a lot of the cordyceps that you'll find in supplement form is a cultivated cordyceps. But in the wild, it grows, and it's very rare to find. So if you get wild harvested cordyceps, it's much more expensive than
I would imagine. Yeah, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, Daniel. I've not heard of either of those. So this is already interesting because, you know, we all like our caffeine. We all like our teas, and we like things that give us more energy, et cetera. But I hadn't heard of mushrooms ever before as far as giving us more stamina. I did not know that was possible.
Yeah. I mean, really, they're very powerful and wonderful things to delve into. And I have a really, you know, big place for mushrooms in my heart. I used to actually wild forage for them when I lived in Ohio, and they're just a magnificent, you know, thing to find when you're out in the woods. And so that's kind of what spurred me to get interested in them. And now I don't really do much foraging here in Sedona, but I do still incorporate them into my routine.
Okay, so now we've heard a lot about mushrooms being used for PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, especially for veterans. Now, how is that used, and what kind of mushroom is that for that kind of use?
Yeah, so as far as I understand, that's a little more controversial, because that would actually be the psychoactive mushrooms. The psilocybin mushrooms, I believe, are being studied for the PTSD and things like depression. So that's not necessarily something you can, you know, go and purchase yet. I believe there may be some states that are looking into decriminalizing or making that legal eventually, but at this time it's still largely illegal. So that's maybe a form of medicinal mushrooms that are still being studied and a little bit more controversial at this time.
And I know that there are some psychiatrists that are saying they want to use them. And I guess in some other countries, there's some exploration in that front as well. And I have heard, you know, that they can be effective in situations where there is, again, that post-traumatic stress and also depression, et cetera. So I think that we're going to be seeing more of that developing over the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, and I hope that there is more exploration, because you know, things like that, PTSD and the, you know, deep depression can be very, very difficult things to deal with. So if people are able to get the help that they need through something like that in a safe way, then I think that's a beautiful thing.
Tell us about some more herbal mushrooms that you have and you use, and what they're good for.
Sure. So another one, and this one's probably my favorite, it's known as reishi mushroom. And reishi is known for being very good for some of the organ systems like the liver and the heart, and also the kidneys. And I find reishi to be very good for my digestion as well. It's a bitter herb, so I like to actually make it into a tea or have it into a form that I can taste like a tincture. And I like that bitter flavor that it has to offer, because it seems to help with my digestion and getting the bile flowing and helping with detoxification. I also find that reishi is calming on the nervous system. So often I'll take it before bed to help me sleep. And it seems to be very effective for that for me, and calming the nerves down and helping with the adrenals. So reishi mushroom is, I would say, my favorite one out of all of these.
How do you spell that?
So reishi is R-E-I-S-H-I.
I've seen that name. I wasn't sure how it gets pronounced. Now, do you take it And is it most commonly taken in teas or in tinctures?
It's probably more commonly taken in tincture or capsule. I think the tea form of it, because you kind of have to make a decoction, they would say, or kind of simmer it for a while. And generally it comes in slices, so like big chunks of mushroom or slices of dried mushroom, and they're very fibrous. So to make tea, it's a little bit more labor-intensive. That's my favorite way to do it, but I would say probably it's a less common way to do it because I think most people are more interested in the convenient, quick method. So
tinctures
and the caps are probably actually more popular, but I find the tea to be very effective for me, and I like being able to, you know, sip a warm cup of tea, especially in the evening.
I mean, that one sounds very interesting, too. That's something I definitely would like to check out because I have digestion issues as well. And I think that sounds really good. Do you ever find that it's you have to be careful with interaction? I know when you take drugs, you have to be careful of how they interact. Do you have to be careful on these herbal tinctures, that you're taking one or two, or how they might interact with other things?
Certainly. Yeah, it's always good to keep in mind these things. And to do some of your own research as well as consult any healthcare practitioners that you work with or doctors. I know reishi, since it does do some things with blood pressure, like typically will lower blood pressure.
That's good.
So someone that has, you know, or is taking something for blood pressure, they might want to, you know, do their research or talk to their doctor and say, hey, like, you know, is this okay to mix if I'm already on medication?
Mm-hmm.
It's always good. These things should, you know, be kept in mind. And I like to encourage people to know fully, like, what you're taking into your body and kind of, you know, be your own authority on that, but also consulting other people at the same time. It's good to have a combination of the two.
So I need to take notes on this. I remember lion's mane. I remember reishi here. What was the other one again? The other mushroom?
Yeah, the other one was cordyceps, and that is spelled C-O-R-D-Y-C-E-P as in Paul S.
Wonderful. Okay, you said there was another mushroom you wanted to talk about as well, right?
Yeah. So another one that I really like is called chaga mushroom. And chaga is interesting because it's not technically a mushroom, but it's like a fungal knot that grows on birch trees. And chaga is actually very difficult to cultivate. So almost all of the chaga that's found is wild harvested from birch. And it looks really interesting because it's like a black and orange kind of chunk. It almost looks like charcoal on the outside. But the inside is a little bit more orange color, and it's very dense, kind of like cork. And you can break that up and you can make it into tea, kind of like you would with reishi slices. You would simmer it in a little pan or a pot for, you know, you could really simmer it for an hour or so before you strain it off and drink it. But chaga will brew into like a almost coffee-like looking brew where it's like black, and it has a lot of antioxidants. It's actually one of the highest antioxidant ratings that we've been able to find. So consuming chaga tea or tincture is like an excellent source of free radical scavenging. So it helps with the cells of the body. And it's also really good for the immune system, like they all are. And also chaga can be good for the pineal gland. So a lot of people don't really talk about the pineal gland in form of physical health, but chaga contains melanin, which is like a pigment that's actually found in our skin too when we tan, or if you have darker skin. But chaga actually contains that, and from the research that I've done is that melanin is actually supportive for the pineal gland.
The pineal gland's in a very important gland, and the pituitary, and sometimes it can be affected, and I haven't ever heard of anything else that helps the pineal gland besides, so this is interesting to find out about chaga.
Yeah, and I'd say, too, chaga, it's very enjoyable to drink as a tea. It actually has quite a pleasant flavor, especially if you mix a little maybe vanilla with it.
Mm-hmm.
Maple syrup goes very well with chaga.
Wow.
You know, it's not one of those herbs that you're, kind of like holding your nose and just trying to get
yes.
down. It can brew into a pretty tasty tea. So that's one really nice thing about it. And another thing I like to do with chaga is actually I'll mix it with coffee. And it tends to mix really well with coffee.
Well, I really don't do coffee. Would it go well with chai? If I put it in with chai?
Absolutely. And yes, you could. I used to make a chaga chai. So instead
Ooh.
Of black tea, I would use chaga chunks. So absolutely a chai, with cinnamon, clove, cardamom. Chaga is a great base for mixing with those chai spices.
Does anyone make tea bags with chaga?
I haven't seen very many tea bags with it, mostly because it usually comes in like larger chunks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more so sold as like the chunks that you can simmer. And we do sell those at Interdependence as well. But as far as like the littler tea bags, I haven't seen it in that form as much.
Interesting. Wow. Are most of these, if you do get, not tea bags, but if you get chunks of these things, are these things supposed to be kept refrigerated? If you got like those chunks, would you keep them refrigerated?
Well, when they're dry, you don't need to. So
mm-hmm.
dried mushrooms will keep very well for, usually, a number of years, especially if it's in a airtight container like a jar. But once you make it into a tea, then yes, you would definitely want to either drink it or refrigerate any extra that you have. But typically when you're getting it dried, it's good at room temperature in a sealed, container.
Have you seen the movie? It actually is shown and been out for a while called The Fantastic Fungi.
I haven't seen it. I know about it and I almost went to go see it, but I still haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it actually is kind of mind-blowing in many ways of how the fungi actually are such an important part of the entire planet and how they work in this network. It's if you're interested in mushrooms, I think it'd be one that you definitely should consider because it really expands your awareness of what mushrooms really are about and what they're doing, how important they are,
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They're like decomposers. They do so much in the environment. They're very fascinating.
So what about this kombucha? Tell me about kombucha and this whole craze. I mean, I go to any market and there's like so many varieties of kombucha. Tell me about kombucha.
Okay. So kombucha, yeah. It's funny because I that's the beverage of choice for me right now is I have a kombucha with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually some homemade kombucha. I've been brewing it at home.
Mm.
So kombucha, it's sometimes referred to in some ways as a mushroom, but it's not.
Oh.
Kombucha is actually a fermented tea. So typically it's using black or green tea. That is brewed and then mixed with sugar. And then it's combined with actually a culture. So kombucha culture consists of certain bacteria and yeasts that are just kind of conglomerated into what's called a SCOBY, SCOBY is an acronym. It stands for Symbiotic Culture of Bacteria and Yeast. And so to make kombucha, you start with a SCOBY and if you can, you would start with some like unflavored regular kombucha, and you would mix the SCOBY and some starter tea with the brewed tea with sugar, and then you let it sit in a jar with an open lid. So you typically put a coffee filter or a paper or like a paper towel on top, so it can breathe, and then at room temperature, it'll start to ferment and culture into an active, like, probiotic enriched tea.
Well, I mean, I see it so many places, and I did think it was from mushrooms, and that's interesting that it's not. I mean, it's been around for a long time, but now I've seen so many varieties of it, and it's become like this, you know, drinks everywhere. You can see even in supermarkets has varieties of that, mostly overpriced, I think, but.
And yeah, it's very, very expensive. It's very popular. It's very, if you think about it, it's very cheap to make. I mean, all you really need is sugar and tea and a big container, and then the SCOBY to get it going. So.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you do, huh?
Yeah. So I've been doing that at home. I started doing it again a couple months ago, and it's really nice.
There's so much that I was not aware of about these mushrooms. And again, I have to think back when I thought of the fantastic fungi and how important mushrooms are. I guess, and when we think of Native American traditions and Celtic traditions that go way back, even the Druids, this has been something that herbalists have been using for thousands and thousands of years, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mushrooms are very ingrained in the, you know, natural world and in cultures. And I think there's definitely a big resurgence with them now. They're much more popular, I think, especially in the last 5 or 6 years or so, maybe, you know, 7 or 8. But I'm really happy that they're starting to be more commonly used, because they're very powerful and they're very important for humans to interact with.
I guess I would have to think in my mind a word of caution. You know, I know, see people out sometimes and you see mushrooms. I mean, they're all around, of course. I see them everywhere, but you have to be careful not to pick mushrooms. I mean, you can easily mistake a mushroom or pick up something that's wrong, and it can be deadly, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of caution that needs to be taken around wild foraging for mushrooms, or even, you know, just if you find some in your property, you know, you just really have to know what you're doing. And the best way to learn is to, you know, get a field guide to start. Never consume anything until you are really aware of what you have and you know for certain. And then another good way to learn is to join like a mushroom group or a lot of areas. They'll have mushroom foraging societies or clubs.
Huh.
So it's nice to start learning from other people as well on that. And I remember when I first got into mushroom foraging, I think I was taking pictures and doing research for probably 2 years before I ever consumed anything that I harvested from the wild.
Wow.
Because, you know, I knew, I was like, well, I don't want to eat the wrong thing, and I don't know what I'm doing yet. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of caution that needs to be taken around mushroom foraging. But once you learn and you're able to identify these things, you know, and confidence and certainty is built up, then it's a really wonderful and enriching thing to do.
Well, I have to thank you, because I always learn so much whenever I talk to Daniel. And today, again, I have learned so many things about mushrooms I never, ever would have guessed, and how potent and powerful they can be in an organic, wonderful way to take. So, you know, I suggest people really do check this out, you know, go online, see if you can find a book. If you get a chance, watch the movie, The Fantastic Fungi. And I hadn't thought of that. I like that advice that you have, maybe join a group that is a mushroom group. I'm sure they're on Facebook and other places that people can find out about. That might be a very interesting way of finding out more and interacting and learning about mushrooms. And so, and of course, you're there. You're a wonderful resource. You have a wealth of knowledge there at Interdependence Natural Foods. The number 928-204-2185. 928-204-2185. I'm going to, I need to call you and order some of these. I think I want that one, the reishi. Reishi? Is it reishi?
Yeah. And it's honestly, I've heard it pronounced both ways, and I don't know that either one is correct. So, but yes, reishi or reishi. And yeah, we have several different options for that. So definitely would love to make a recommendation on that and steer you in the right direction.
Well, I appreciate your time and your knowledge and wisdom on this subject, and it's been great talking about it. I'm looking forward to experimenting with mushrooms.
Thank you, Cindy. And yes, sounds good. And yes, it was a pleasure speaking with you again.
A big aloha from here to there.
Aloha. Yeah, have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.